Hey everyone, welcome back to The Millionaire Marriage. I am Taylor Kovar and I'm here with Jeremy Gilliam, and we are very excited about today's episode. It's one that we get hit up on all the time, and it's about dealing with transitions. It's something we've talked about several times on the podcast, but it's one that, again, we get questions on all the time. And people are saying, hey, what do we do when we're having kids? What do we do when we're going through a career change? We're trying to finish college. We're trying to do this or that. How do we work through this transition, right? Yeah. How do we work through this change? And one of the things to remember is the only thing constant in life is change. You're always going to have seasons of change. No matter where you are, no matter how established you get, your parents, your grandparents are still going through seasons of change in their own marriages and relationships. And so I'm very excited about this episode. Jeremy, you have our very first topic you're going to talk about.
Yes. In just a second, I will.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind. We'll hold off on the very first tip. Then if you're waiting on the tip, just balls or fast forward.
Fast forward. Yes. 30 seconds. No, but I think what you're saying though is so accurate that change it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And I think the difference between successful outcomes is how we navigate when change is taking place. Because it's going to happen. Like you said, you're going to have kids. You're going to have job changes. You're going to have church changes. You're going to have house changes. You could be moving locations. And the end goal of all of that is to have a stronger marriage, not a weaker one. But what can happen, though, is transition can create opportunity for your marriage to be strengthened and to grow. But far too often, unfortunately, what happens within couples is that they don't navigate the changes successfully. And so it ends up causing an extreme amount of relational tension. And in fact, when you study marriage and family therapy, there's like a whole model over family life cycles that literally what they say is, in essence, right? Essence is that challenges arise because people aren't navigating life cycle changes successfully. And yeah, change is important, and navigating the change successfully as well is important. So we have five things to remember today for you when in transition. First, and this is obvious, and everyone knows this, you have to give grace to get grace. Because what can happen in times of transition is things can become challenging, right? If you're moving, if you're changing jobs, you're moving across the country, you just find out your wife's pregnant, you guys are having your first baby, whatever the case may be, and then tensions start to rise. And when that happens, you have to remember that what my spouse is going through is very real for them. It may be different. So for instance, me and my wife are in the process of selling our house, and we've both had at separate times an emotional response because it's the first house we've built together. But in those times you could be insensitive, right? You're like, why are you crying? This is just,
it's just a house.
It's just brick and mortar. Yeah. It's just sheetrock and paint. We can do this all over again. So you could be insensitive, but there are going to be times where you'll have a different emotional response than your spouse will. And you hope at that time that your spouse gives you the grace that you should be giving them. So you hope that when I'm in a time of difficulty in the middle of this transition, that my spouse will give me grace if I've been short or if I've had challenges with my emotions or whatever the case may be. So you have to remember, if you want to get grace from your spouse when it's your moment to fall apart, you have to make sure that when they're falling apart, you give them some grace too.
It's kind of one of that old saying, you reap what you sow. I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible somewhere as well. It's in there. It's okay. Exactly, yeah, like you reap what you. And so if you want people to give you grace, right? If you want mercy and grace on your life, you should show mercy and grace. And in our marriages, especially during transitionary periods, and we see this a lot, you can either, it creates opportunity either to grow together or to isolate.
Absolutely.
And for us, obviously we want every marriage to be growing toward togetherness, absolutely, right? Unity, oneness, and not isolation. And so when you're going through these transitions, especially those first few days or weeks, whenever maybe it's a big announcement, maybe you found out you're having a kid, or surprise, you're having triplets, it can be a really big transition. And so it's really important, reap what you sow, right?
Yeah.
Remember that, give grace to get grace.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be periods of in your time, in your life, in your mindset, and it could be, and it's going to ebb and flow throughout the day, even at that point. But really making sure that you're giving the grace that's necessary.
So I remember when we found out we were pregnant with Bentley, our oldest, like we were college students. We were living in a one bedroom apartment, making like no money. And bro, we just both fell apart. Like, I mean, it was, We love our son, obviously, but like it was just a crazy time to have a child. And there were different times where we would just like almost fall apart. Thankfully, it wasn't all at the same time. So we were able to help each other in those moments. But I think that's key to remember. What, just in that moment, give grace. Dispense grace like it's air. Give it that liberally to your spouse during this season, because you're going to need it too when things are difficult. Maybe it's a job transition and you're at a new job and this job is, you know, maybe behind on your first project. And so you need an extra 10 hours that week to work. You hope your spouse will give you a little bit of leeway and a little bit of grace during the transition period. So just keep that in mind too. They need some grace as well. And so do you. That leads us to our second point. Friction creates fire.
Just about the opposite of give grace to get grace.
That's exactly right. So obviously, friction creates fire. When you are in transition, friction is inevitable. It is going to happen. It's not abnormal. So if you are in transition and you're going, wow, why do things feel so much, feel more tense there? I feel like we both have shorter fuses. The kids are acting up. The dog's going nuts. What's happening to our family?
If you haven't been there, you will.
Yeah, yeah. Just wait.
You will, yeah.
And so just remember, friction creates fire. I love Carl Jung. He made a great quote. He said, conflict creates the fire of affects and emotions. And like every fire, it has two aspects, that of burning and that of giving light. Mm-hmm. So often what can happen in times of transition, because there's friction, and friction is not bad. And I think that's a point we need to stop at for a second. Friction is not a bad thing, just like conflict is not a bad thing. Friction denotes movement. If I'm rubbing my hands together, my hands are moving and it's creating friction. That means something is moving. Movement is not a bad thing. But to remember, though, that this friction is going to create some fire. It's going to create a time of potential, a time of difficulty, even if the change is a happy change. And we'll talk more about that here after a minute. Even if the change, though, is a happy change, it still creates friction, and friction creates fire, and fire burns. It burns, but it also gives light. And here's why that's important. Oftentimes what can happen is when we are in times of transition and that friction happens and the fire started, it can start bubbling things up in our relationship that have been dormant.
Very true. Yeah.
So like we've had poor communication and now we're in transition and we have to talk because there's decisions that have to be made. And now it's making the issue that's happening come to a head. And now we have to deal with this because we have to communicate because we're moving across the country. Or we've had poor intimacy and now it feels like we're just being ripped further apart. Or one of our kids is going crazy and now we have to address this. And so friction's not a bad thing. Transitions create friction. Thus, in these times, it's burning things out of our marriage, which is not a bad thing. Fires, it's a refiner. It's a purifier.
Yeah. Well, Meg and I, we've been married almost 15 years. 15 years in a couple of weeks, a few weeks. And for us, we've looked back at some of the arguments or the learning opportunities, call them. And actually, in our newlywed class at church, we're doing a little bit of a series as far as, hey, how to fight fair and how to resolve conflict. And in our next class, we've asked everybody to bring an object that signifies one of the arguments they've had. And so big or small, whether it's something that they've learned from. And so we're really in this season, how do we work through transitions from our family, but then also we're working with a dozen or two dozen of these young marrieds that are talking about some of the things they've done in the past. And so one thing we mention a lot is, you know, don't sweep it under the rug. Because if we sweep it under the rug, and it's easy sometimes in a transition to say, well, I'm going to go through it this way, you're going to go through it that way, or you see it that way, I see it this way, and we're just going to leave it there. And when you sweep things under the rug, you're going to trip on them at some point. And so just like that fire, fire is going to burn up. It's going to show you, hey, where we've been weak at. Keep that in mind. It's not, having friction in your marriage isn't a bad thing. Now, you shouldn't have it all the time.
Right.
Shouldn't have it all the time, right? Even with our investment firm, we tell newlyweds, hey, it's okay to go through financial struggles. It's going to make you a better couple.
Yeah.
The couples that are more successful later on usually had to work through some financial struggles when they went at some point.
Yeah.
Because it draws you closer together. So let that fire it can burn up some stuff.
And it's that's a purifier.
It's okay. That's good. Yeah. But it can also shine a really bright light on the areas that it needs to shine a light on.
That's exactly right.
Let it, right? Don't, just like the Sunday school song, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a cup. Let the light shine. Let it show you what you need to work on in your marriage.
I think there's the other aspect of light too. It can also show the good things that are there too. It can show that, hey, you know what? Though this is difficult, we got this. We've made it through. We've been through tough times and we're going to get through this too. So allow it to pure, allow this season of transition to purify and allow it to bring light to things in your marriage. Don't waste this opportunity just to continue doing things you've always done. Allow, you're already in transition. You might as well keep going.
Yeah.
Things are already uncomfortable. Let's make them more. See, that's so funny. My life's motto, if something's worth doing, it's worth overdoing.
There you go.
So yeah, if we're already uncomfortable, let's be really uncomfortable now. So allow this time of friction to cause fire. Allow that fire to be a peering agency and allow it to be light and allow it to help you and your marriage move forward into your future and into success, because it's going to happen. 10 years is going to come whether you want it to or not. So allow this time right now to move you and propel you forward.
Which I think takes us really good into our third point. Absolutely. Right? Third thing to remember is to have a heightened sense of emotional awareness.
Yep. And through this one in there, especially for your children. And if you're listening to this and you don't have children, that's okay. Also practice this with your spouse and then coworkers, friends and family. But especially if you have kiddos. So if you have children and you're in the middle of challenging transition, it's going to affect them whether it looks like it or not. They're going to want to go back to their old neighborhood. They're going to want to go back to their old church. They're going to want to go back to their old friends. And when it's not as easily accessible, as it used to be, then they're going to go, oh man, this doesn't feel very good. And then kids end up expressing their emotions differently than adults. You have to remember this. Children don't have fully developed brains. I mean, we all knew that, but keep that in mind. So you may be able to process something logically, right? Like, oh no, we're moving across the country because mommy and daddy are taking a church and becoming a pastor, or we got a great opportunity to go start a business, or X, Y, or Z is happening. And so as an adult, you're going, yeah, this makes a lot of sense and it feels right. But for kids, they don't have that perspective. And so you may be in transition going, why does it seem like little Johnny's been extremely on edge? Like, we moved 6 months ago. Shouldn't that be enough time? I mean, I know he's in a new school. Yeah, and he has new friends. And he's in a new church. But I was like, 6 months ago, shouldn't he be okay? Right, no. So just keep that in mind. Have a heightened sense of emotional awareness. Pay attention. And so if you notice, and here's why I say pay attention. Because kids, adolescents, young adults, they can slip into times of anxiety and times of depression. And then if you're not careful, and I hope you are really listening, if you're not careful, you can just say, just get over it. Not knowing that's just going to further amplify the problem. So parents, if you're listening and you're a parent and you're going through transition, be there and be present with your children because this is so real to them. How would you like, if you stop and think for a second, how would you like to have no control over the situation? You have no control. You can't do anything to alter your parents' decision. Now you've been uprooted like an oak tree and are expected to be planted somewhere else with no issue or consequences. Like, obviously, you're going, well, that's not logical. Of course there's going to be challenges. And maybe that oak's not going to produce fruit the first year. Or maybe it's going to have issues growing new roots. Remember that with your kids, too. And be present and be aware. Not just for your spouse, but also for your spouse as well. And most of these principles could apply to your spouse as well. But pay attention to what's happening with your kids. And that way you can be there. Not that you're going to be able to fix everything, but that they know that when they were dealing with difficulty, you were there for them.
I love that. Your kids need that. Your spouse needs to know.
Absolutely.
You are there for them. That you're not diminishing their feelings, diminishing their emotions. It's really easy sometimes for us to forget as adults that our kids don't have all of the life experiences that we have, that they should just know what we know. They're adults. They've been here. They know this.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, it reminded me of a movie that came out several years ago, and it's called Inside Out. And if you hate the movie, I'm sorry. If there's bad language, I don't think there is. It's PG. I don't know. But it's a great little movie that reminds you, right? As a parent, when we're talking about transitions, in the movie, this little girl's going through a transition. Her family's moving across the country, and it's dealing with her emotions, and it makes her emotions these little cartoon figures. But it's a funny movie, but it also helps to really put this in clarity as far as your kids can't always process this, right? And what's going on the inside, regardless of how they're acting on the outside.
Yeah.
And so keeping that in mind as you're going through this is having that heightened sense of emotional awareness is extremely important. Hey, take more time to talk, right? Take more time
Absolutely.
To be present. And I know this is something we all face, a lot of people face nowadays, and I've talked about it on the podcast, of having to come home and say, hey, I'm putting my phone away for like 2 hours. I'm not even going to look at my phone for 2 hours. I'm going to be 100% present where I am right now with my kids. If whether that means we're building a new Mario course on the Switch, or playing with Legos, or playing Barbie dolls, or I'm putting on a princess dress. It's what we do, right? Just being 100% present and helping. That helps a lot during these transitions. I think it's part of being a good parent anyways.
Yeah.
But when you're going through transitions, it's important just to be there, doing things that they want to do.
Yeah. Like I remember, and I may have told this before. I'm not going to even apologize. So there was a time me and my wife, we pastored a church. And when we resigned that night, we spoke with the kiddos, and we had just Bentley and Audrey then, and they were both young. Man, I think Audrey was 4 and, or maybe she was 5. I think it was 5 and 7. And we sat them down on the couch and we're like, hey, so mommy, daddy resigned tonight from Westside. And they're just like looking at me like, oh, okay. I was like, do you guys know what that means? And they shook their head no. I said, daddy's no longer pastor of Westside. And like their faces, I'll never forget. It was like horror on their faces. Mm-hmm. And in that type of situation, you have one of two options, right? You can just tell them, suck it up. Now, this is what's happening. You could cry about something else. Or you can sit there and let them know their feelings are valid, they're real, and it's tough, it's difficult. And again, I'll repeat myself again, but just imagine if you had no control. And then you're going to try to look for something you can control, which is why during transitional periods, kids may act up. They may try to control a doll. Like, no, 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 I want this with me at all. And it's, you're like, man, it seems like they're regressing a little bit. No, they are literally controlling what they can control. They can't control much, but they can control that blankie. They can control that doll. They can control their toys. And so it's like, wow, they seem a little more attached to something. Yeah, they just had something uprooted in them. And so just being cognizant of that. But then also, if you're a spouse listening to this, be cognizant to your spouse as well. Be cognizant to your husband. Be cognizant of your wife. Because something very similar could be happening with them while they should be a part of the decision-making process. And let me just stop and say this. If they're not, you've done something wrong. If you have made this decision all by yourself and you didn't consult with your spouse and you told them after the fact, you've done something wrong. But also be aware of where they are. And I think the challenge is for some men is, oh, I'm not an emotional person, bro. Mm-hmm. What? Come on. Let's drop the line. Let's throw that out. You most certainly are. You have a couple kids, right? Looks like you've been emotional once or twice in your life. And be present and be aware of what's happening with your spouse. Because it's, again, transition for them is real, just like it is for you. It's a real thing. It can be challenging, but it happens all throughout life. It's if you haven't transitioned, if you're not moving from one direction to another, you will shortly. So just tuck this episode away and pull it out when you need it. Which leads me to the fourth point. And I know for a fact we've mentioned this on the episode on the podcast before, but it is absolutely worth repeating. Time and again, it's going to feel like death. It is going to feel like something has died because something has died.
Yeah, something's gone.
It's not going to be
changed.
The same.
Yeah, you've changed. The location has changed. Life has changed. It's change. It's gone. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. And here's what's so interesting. And people think that they shouldn't have the responses that they have to things. But remember that lost loved one you had. What it felt like when you went to pick the phone up to call them. Because it's just habit. And you couldn't call them anymore because they weren't there. Transitions are the exact same thing. To some lesser extent, for some it may be more. It is going to feel like something has been removed. Because something has been removed. Maybe it's your coworkers, or maybe it's your job, or maybe it's your church, or maybe it's your ministry, or maybe it's a whole myriad of things. And you're going, well, man, things that were aren't anymore. And keeping that in mind, I think will help subdue, not get rid of, but help subdue some of the challenges. Because if you go into this knowing, okay, I might go through a grief process, but you're going to go, but I thought this was happy, right? We all wanted to do this. We all wanted to be a part of this. We all wanted this move. We all wanted this change. So why am I crying at midnight? Why do I feel like I'm slipping into a state of depression? Right? Because things are different now. Things have changed. Change is not a bad thing, but it doesn't mean you're going to go through it like a robot without emotions or without cares. No, you're going to go on autopilot, and you're going to go, oh man, I meant to turn back there, but I'm headed back to that old job I was working at. Or I'm headed back to that, whatever it may be. I love, and I've mentioned his book. If you haven't bought it by now, I don't know what's wrong with you. Peter Scazzaro, Emotionally Healthy Leadership. Here's what he said. He said, death or endings are a death, and death is final. Nothing new takes place without an ending. And then he quotes the Roman philosopher Seneca. Seneca said, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
I think it's appropriate to let that sit there for a second. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. It's not just a song, which is where a lot of people probably yeah, pull that from. Had no idea it was a Roman philosopher who said that first. Things have to die to grow.
Yeah.
Like there's at times you have to divide to multiply, right? Or subtract to add. Nothing new is going to take place without an ending of something else.
Yeah.
Whether that's in, you can't begin college without ending high school.
Yeah.
You can't begin a family without starting or ending something else.
Yeah.
And so keeping that in mind that you're in this period of change. You see the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Like, once the butterfly, it's never a caterpillar again.
Yeah.
Ever. And that's a really weird process. And you don't know how long it takes sometimes. And sometimes it's days, sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years that you're in this really weird transitionary phase. But know that there, something did have to die. Like something does have to be let go in order to move forward in what God has for you and your family.
Yeah. Man. And that kind of leads to the last point. And this is where I think some hope comes in. Mourning is coming. MORING. Mourning is coming.
Yep.
Again, just like when you lose a loved one, like there does come a point where it's like, okay, it finally feels okay now. Things finally feel normal. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. The sunrise is coming, it's breaking, and you're going to be okay. Things are going to be good after the end of your transition, after the end of the season you're in, the cycle you're in. Mourning is on its way. The dawn is coming.
Joy comes in the morning.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. Keep in mind that through all this transition, there's going to be something beautiful that's going to arise as a result of it. Doesn't mean it's not difficult. But that at the end of the day, things are going to be okay. You may not know what tomorrow holds, and you know the quote, but you know who holds tomorrow. And just, again, realize that sometimes transitions, sometimes season changes can feel like a whole lot of night. But the best thing about night is when dawn breaks the horizon, and you're like, oh man, that sunrise is gorgeous. And God knew that sunrise is going to be gorgeous too. and just be thankful you're up to see it in the morning.
Yeah. And remember it sometimes. I know as a hunter, typically you get in the stand early, but it always seems like the darkest part of night is right before dawn.
Yeah.
So when you think you're in the deepest, darkest pit of it, just think, hey, any moment it can turn around, because it can. And it's up to you, and keep that hope that, hey, morning is coming. There is joy in the morning. There is a new life. There is something that maybe far better than we ever expected is right on the horizon. So keep your head up. Keep your chin up. Work through a transition together as a couple. Grow toward unity, not isolation.
Yeah.
And let you become something stronger, something better at the end of it.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thanks for joining us this week. Hope you got value out of the podcast. If you did, please share it with somebody you know that may be going through transition. And if you want to reach out to us, you can check us out on all of our social media channels. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.